you're aware, the theme for this year is In His Footsteps, and to learn, live, and lead in His footsteps. Whose footsteps? In the footsteps of Jesus. And while I've been away, you guys have had some messages. We had Scott, and he was talking about Nicodemus, and that born again, that understanding that we need to be spiritually born again, coming through, you know, that Nicodemus was an unlikely believer in Jesus. And then after that, we had Shanae coming in, and Shanae was talking about the woman at the well, and just the dynamics of Jesus spending time with somebody again who was unlikely to be impacted by someone like Jesus, but she was hungry for a place of faith. And so Shanae talked there. And then last week you guys had Andrew. And Andrew was talking about Jesus bringing the miracle of the loaves and the fishes of the 5,000 being fed. And so as you've been seeing, we've been looking through the book of John, and through, you know, the Nicodemus in John 3, then the woman at the well in John 4. We sort of skipped John 5, but those of you who've been reading that, following it through, and then in John 6, you've been looking at the feeding of the 5,000. And so you've been leading into this place where we're seeing the disciples watching what Jesus is doing and following through. And so today we're still moving in John 6, but we're now about the time when Jesus actually walks on the water and the challenge of Peter. So we're going to look at that a little bit more. But getting out of the boat, that challenge of faith, to step out of the boat. We sang a song this morning about keeping our eyes above the waters, above the waves. I'm going to look at that a bit more as John travels in the book of John, as Peter takes that challenge that Jesus brings. We're going to look at that in a bit more in depth. We're going to pray now and ask for God's presence. Lord, praying that your Holy Spirit will be with us this morning, that we can see what you want us to see in this story, that the challenge of our own faith journey, how we are challenged by you telling us to step out of the boat, or by you bringing us to a place where we may have to do something we don't want to do, but it's actually going to be good for us. So I pray this morning that you guide me, you speak through me. I pray, Lord, also for hearts that are listening, that ears and the spiritual hearts listening to what you want to speak to us about. Guide us and lead us into your truth and a depth of understanding that's beyond our understanding, but comes directly from you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So stepping out of the boat, who's had an awkward moment stepping out of a boat? Yes, any of you had one of these moments? Looks a little uncomfortable, okay? Stepping out of a boat or being a bit sort of like this, right? That could be just that moment. Do you think I can walk on water, step on water, stand on water? No? All right. I've got a photo here of me actually standing up on water, but I've got a little bit of help. I got a little bit of help. Hasn't humanity through time wanted to walk on water in some way? Well, just stepping out, and I have to do it on the water. And it looks good. That looks nice. It looks really good, and then it's not so good. Oh, that one. It's not so good. Just thought I'd share that with you. Bit of fun. You know, we've just been in Hawaii, as I mentioned, and we actually had a few surfs in Hawaii, which is really nice. And Hawaii will claim that that's the first place where surfing took place. You know, the Duke, you know, the big surfer there. But I actually don't believe that's true. If you know your Bible really well, you would know that Paul was a surfer. Do you guys know that? Paul was a surfer. Some of you are looking at me a bit funny. Well, apparently when the boat went in the back of Acts, you'll find that the boat was had you know been broken up. It says Paul went to shore on a plank. Helen's rolling her eyes, as she should. It's great. Okay. Terrible jokes. You guys can look it up if you want. That's all right. And if you're a surfer, you know that the longboards are called planks. So there you go. All right. Let's look at this story, this passage of scripture. We're going to look at it in three different books of the Gospels. It's in the three. Each one is giving their understanding of what took place when Jesus walked on the water. Each one has a different aspect in it. But what's not refuted is that Jesus actually walked on the water. But we're going to look at each one individually and then see what takes place and then the challenge that Peter had in it as well. So when we pick it up in John 6:16, we read these words. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, and this is in NIV, the translator, it is I, but in each section I've put the ego eimi in the Greek, that ego eimi means I am. And I've put that deliberately there because many of you will be aware, when Moses was struggling in front of the burning bush, where God had challenged him to go to Egypt to bring the people out of Egypt, Moses says to God, what do I call you? If they ask, what do I call you? And God says, you are to call, or say, I am. The I am has called you to do this, the I am. And so the I am statement, or ego eimi in the Greek here, is prominent in each of these three passages. Because Jesus is trying to show or bring this comment in as he's walking on this water, there's a glory aspect and he's saying, I am here. And the disciples would have been blown away hearing that. So in translation of NIV, we've got it is I, but I am, meaning I am, like I'm like God, as God would speak, I am, don't be afraid. And then they were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. So get what's happening here. The disciples, they've just, they're in this boat. It's you know, it's dark. They've been rowing through the night. The wind is blowing. It's great and rough. And then we find Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. Would you be frightened? Yes. In the dark, someone's walking in the water towards you. I think comforting words are, you know, are you a ghost or whatever? I am is here. Well, okay, all right, come into the boat. And they reach the shore. So that's what we read in John, but we get a little bit more information in Mark. So in Mark 6:45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, meaning it's still dark, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, I am. Don't be afraid. And then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. Interesting that brings the loaves in. I want to build the story as we're going here. Did anybody notice that it said he was about to pass by them? We didn't find that in John. We now hear this. He's about to pass by them. Like, you're out in the boat rowing away in the dark. You're like, Jesus, you've left us behind, and it's the wind, and we're going and we're rowing. And then Jesus is about to pass by them. Hey, guys. You got to think what's going on here. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. And it says in 52, for they had not understood about the loaves and their hearts were hardened. I like this picture. This is an AI picture. I just love this because it's like he's just walked past them. You can see them looking like, what is going on here? I love this picture as the thinking. Let me build a little bit more. I know I've read this simple passage in John 6, and now we're looking at Mark, and now we see Jesus, his authority walking past. But it says about the loaves, and they didn't understand the loaves. Now, this same passage, you got to understand, we read immediately he told them to get in the boat. Immediately from what? Immediately after he had fed the 5,000 with the bread. Immediately after that feeding, he tells them to go into the boat. What does Jesus do? He goes up to the mountain to pray. But you got to understand a little bit more that's taking place here. Jesus has not only given the bread of the 5,000, just, you'll find in the passage just before the feeding of the 5,000, they've just found out that John the Baptist has been killed, that his head's been cut off. And some of the disciples, as we've seen in the book of John, some of the disciples were disciples of John the Baptist before moving to Jesus. So there's a grief factor going on for these disciples. And it says that they wanted to go to a quiet place. And then all these people came to listen to Jesus. And you can imagine the grief. Jesus would be grieving his cousin, John the Baptist, being killed. The disciples would be grieving there. And yet all these people are hungry for the word. So Jesus does this ministry. They can't feed them, but Jesus says, you know, what have we got? So the feeding takes place. And then Jesus says, get into the boat. I know you're tired. I'm going on the mountain to pray. You're grieving, and I'm going to send you out on the sea. And now they're rowing at 2 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what time it was, through the night. I don't know if you can understand the disciples and the processing of what's happening here is huge. They've seen this miracle of the loaves, and now this challenge of Jesus about to walk by them, showing his glory in some way by saying, I am. Just think for a moment. These miracles are taking place. The disciples in their humanity are struggling with the miracles taking place or struggling out in this boat and the challenge that's there. And yet Jesus is walking past and showing his glory here. Remember Moses, who was there, Lord God, show me your glory. And God says to Moses, just stand by here and I'm going to go past. And as I go past, I'm going to proclaim my name. My glory is going to go past you. Elijah, some years later, after the Mount Carmel experience, goes also to Mount Sinai seeking God. And God puts him there and goes past him. And that still, small, quiet voice comes past. God's glory as he speaks through. And now we see Jesus now walking on the water, going past them and saying, I am, and showing his glory as he's going past. Imagine if you were one of the disciples trying to understand what's taking place here. And so we're going to go a little bit further now into Matthew 14:22. Immediately, see each time, immediately, this immediately takes place. After the feeding of the Father, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went out on the mountainside by himself to pray later that night. He was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So we're hearing exactly the same story in the dark, in the morning, Jesus walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, I am. Don't be afraid." Again, "I am, don't be afraid." And then we read this, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Lord, if it's you, tell me to come onto the water. "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And it says, "You of little faith." That's not little faith. Stepping out of the boat in the dark to a ghost-like figure who's there. That's not little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And then we find, and they climbed into the boat and the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all the sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Incredible. So what do we make of this story? What do we make of it? Here's this place, Jesus walking. Again, the AI pictures. We don't have actual pictures, unfortunately. Be great to have, you know, in the beginning was video, but no, it was the word. Just again, that picture of Jesus just walking on the water and the challenge there. Do we really understand what it was like for Peter to step out of the boat? Do we really understand the cultural struggles and the spiritual battlefield of stepping out of the boat in the dark, in a storm? And do we really understand what it was like for the Jewish culture and understanding life, death, burial, and all that taking place, demonic realm, spiritual place? Let's get an idea of what's taking place. Okay, when Jesus was put on the cross, where was he put after being on the cross? Sorry? In a tomb, all right? Put in a tomb. This is not an actual photo of the tomb either, but similar process. Why did they put his body in a tomb? Why? What did they do with his body after he died? What was the thinking? Sorry? Embalming, right? Put spices so that embalm and being there. But why put him in a tomb? Why not just dig a hole, put him in the ground in a hole? What's the thinking here? Do you have any idea? Animals couldn't get him. Yeah, well, that's true. You know? What do you think?
Wouldn't they be waiting for the body to decay and then take the bones and put it
down? Paul, you're a champion. You need to do Bible college. You're on point. Okay. Who knows what an ossuary is? Not a glossary or a bird. Sorry? Yes. Okay. A box to put the bones in. See, the idea was when you put a body into the tomb, The idea was over a year, the decay would take place and the bones would be left behind. And with those bones, and then they would put those bones into a box. And then those bones put into a box were then put into a family-held tomb area, so all the bones would be in place. Now, as Jesus makes that, this, by the way, this is Caiaphas's box, believe it or not. They found in 1990 Caiaphas. This is Caiaphas. Here's the irony of it. Caiaphas is there in bones, but Jesus is alive, yeah? Amen. Jesus is not in a box, right? For Caiaphas, he's in. Caiaphas is the one that said Jesus to be killed, right? So anyhow, so when Jesus is on the teaching steps at the temple, and he's challenging the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and calling them whitewashed tombs, your bones, dead men's bones in whitewashed tombs. If you look, that's on the Mount of Olives across from the eastern gate of the temple. Why across from the eastern gate of the temple? Because the Messiah was to come in through the eastern gate. As the Messiah came in, the resurrection was to take place. So you find that the Mount of Olives, I know I'm giving you lots of information, sorry, but across that eastern side, you'll find all these whitewashed tombs right across the side of the mountain there. You'll see it today, even when Jesus is talking about the whitewashed tombs. The bones mean nothing. All right? It's the joy of the Lord is the strength through our spirit going to heaven, not the bones to be restored. But why is it so important? Why I'm bringing this in is because historically, the bones for the Jews was very, very important to have them together as family. Okay, we go back to Jacob, and Jacob, when he went to Egypt, when he died, the very first thing says, if I'm moving from the promised land to Egypt, you got to bring my bones back out. And so when Jacob died, the bones were brought to Shechem and brought there. Then his son Joseph, who was then the leader of who took over that whole authority of Egypt, said the promise of God is that one day, the promise was our people will be in the promised land. And said, he said, you make sure my bones, Joseph's bones, will also go to the promised land. The promise was put in place. It took 400 years, but they still brought his bones to the promised land. Now, why am I bringing all this into this understanding of walking on water? Is because if Peter stepped out of the boat, which we know he does, if he had drowned, the fear was the bones would never be in the family area. Anybody who drowned was scared, now worried. The other part that we don't fully understand either in the culture and understanding is that if the demonic realm wasn't understood to be on land or someplace, they often believe the demonic realm was under the water. Why the pigs go down into the lake and die into the lake that were the demons possessed going through. So there's a lot of thinking was that the demonic realm was under the water. So here's Peter stepping out of the boat, two parts worried. One, that if he drowns, demonic realm is there. Two, my bones will never be recovered. It was a big, big deal. It wasn't just stepping out of the boat. This was very, very scary. This was a place of total faith to step out of the boat with Jesus. So, how does that work for us? We don't see it the way Peter saw it. How can I bring it to a point today for you and I to get our heads around a little bit? Imagine, and I've said this once before, imagine if I put you into a spaceship, into the shuttle, brought you up to outer space, and there's a nice glass portal in this spacecraft, and I said, see out there, and we see Jesus floating out in space, and then Jesus says, step out of the spaceship. Come to me. Would you do that? That's the question, isn't it? To open the door, to know in your mind you can't breathe, to know in your mind that you could lose gravity and just float away. That's what Jesus is asking you and I. Do you believe in me? that I have that authority by faith to step out of the spaceship to come to me. For Peter, that was what it was like, that scared moment to step out, to sink, to die, to go down to the depths. And so in Matthew 14, 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, I am, don't be afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." We sang a song that said, "Keep our eyes above the waves." That faith journey is to keep our eyes on Jesus. If we were in that spaceship and we stepped out, hovered out, I don't know how it would happen, up to Jesus, would we be looking at the fears around us, or would we just be looking at Jesus himself and wanting to go to him? "Save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" If Jesus is there and you're looking at him and he's saying, "Come to him," are you in that place to do that? Do you have the faith to believe that he's saying, "Come to me"? Do you see me as God, or do you just see me as a person? Today is Palm Sunday, as many of you are aware. My message today, I just wanted to stay in order that as we're going through the book of John. But I wanted to bring this today in the thinking. Because there's a moment in Palm Sunday where Jesus is walking along, or he's on a donkey, and they're putting the palms down and they're seeing him as some sort of a Messiah that's coming in place. They were hoping that this Messiah was going to be the warlord king like David, to come and be the power and restore Israel, to remove the Roman occupation, to come in like that. But we know that when Jesus came down on the donkey, went through the Mount of Olives, comes up into Jerusalem, we know instead of going to the Praetorium, he goes left. And he goes into the temple and we find him cleansing the temple, restoration. The challenge that we have as we move into Easter, the challenge that we have is we see Jesus on a donkey, lowly. Do we understand that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, that he is God as a person, fully man and fully God at the same time? Do we believe that to the point that our faith means we are willing to step out of our comfort zones, not fearing death, and to move to that place to see him in his incredible authority? It's a struggle for us to walk in his footsteps. We see Jesus walking as innocence, going to the cross, and we're going to see that Easter coming this weekend. Do we see Jesus in his innocence, having all authority in heaven and earth, but willing to die for you and for me? And in his willingness to die for you and for me, he's saying, "Do you have the faith to come and follow me in this journey?" The wind and the waves, all your anxieties, all your fears, all your spiritual battlefield that takes a place in your mind, Are you willing to forego the things that you see as most important here and move to that place and see Jesus as most important? To see above the waves, to see above your pressures, to see above the anxieties, to see above the fears, to see above the struggles that you have, and be willing to step out of the boat and keep your eyes above all the struggles and go, Jesus, please, I'm coming to you no matter what. Can I almost answer that too? And it's meant to be a celebration. Palm Sunday was a time when Jesus should have been acknowledged as the Messiah coming in. But he was coming in as the King of the universe. Are you willing to walk in his footsteps if he calls out, says, come, follow me? Are you willing to learn what it is to keep your eyes above the waves? Are you willing to live in such a way that keeps your eyes above the waves and the pressures? And are you willing to help lead others into this place? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you stepped out on the water. In your grief for your cousin, in your battle of struggle of weariness, in that place where you were leading your disciples to a point where they were scared and they were frightened, you were saying, come and see me in all the fears and all the pressures. Come and see me. Come and follow me. Come and walk to me. Come and be with me as we go through this. Jesus, I know for each one of us individually, discipleship is not easy. This whole ideology of be good and be blessed, that's not what it is. You're asking us in the battle of life, in the struggle of faith, in the issues that we have, you're saying, come to me, look above the pressures, and I will lead you. So, Lord Jesus, allow our hearts now, right now, to start pushing away some of the rubbish that we're dealing with and the fears and the anxieties, and help us to see you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That even though the world around us is spinning and we're seeing ugliness across this world, we're seeing war and violence, help us to see above that and say, Jesus, you are majestic. You are glorious. And when you say, I am, you're calling us to see you in your glory. So, Lord, as we move into Easter, may we see how glorious it is that you went to the cross, even though the enemy saw it as a victory. You turned it into a triumph. So lead us this week to see how wonderful and how powerful and how mighty you are, and increase our faith to be able to step out of the boat and say, you are my Lord. Amen.